Praise God. You can be seated this morning. We do have a new birth certificate. Somebody has repented and received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's April Sordahl. Is she here this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Awesome. So, I want to take just a couple minutes here. We've done things a little bit differently the last Mother's Day and Father's Day this year. I just want to take a couple minutes and encourage / challenge fathers in a little bit of a way. I was sitting at home this morning, or standing at home getting changed, and my little guy, he's not in here, he's probably running around like a crazy person, but my son Jack, he puts on my shoes and he tries to walk around in them, right? And he's always falling on his face. It's kind of funny. But for some reason, he always wants to wear my shoes. And sometimes I'm like, dude, get the shoes off. You're just going to fall, you know. But it doesn't matter to him that he's going to fall. It doesn't matter to him that he's probably, you know, they're too big or whatever. But he wants to wear my shoes all the time. And it's cute, but it's also very challenging to me to see. It's difficult for me to see this because it's, if I could be honest, it's very scary. My son is trying to wear my shoes. It's not scary because he could fall. It's scary because, oh my goodness, I hope those are the right shoes. It's scary because what else is he trying to wear that's mine? What else is he trying to copy that's mine? And if you're a father here, maybe you've had this thought. Maybe it's not about shoes. Maybe just in general, you sit there and you think, oh my goodness, like there's a lot riding on this. And you just, there's a realization that comes in. And it sort of scares me. And I think to myself, I think, well, it's hard, it's stressful, it's to be the right dad, to lead the right way. There's a lot of pressure on me as a dad. At least that's the way I feel. Maybe there's none on you, right? But for me, it's like there's a lot of pressure. I gotta go to work. You know, this is my dad warned me about this. I kept saying I want to get a job. He's like, yeah, you do. You know, mowing the lawn was fun until it became work, right? And so we go to work. You're trying to lead your family. You're trying to be a great husband to your wife. You're trying to be a good father. And all these things, sadly, are, I use the word lead, but they're really serving, right, as men, which I think is both difficult, but God has designed us to do. And so I look at this and I'm like, this is a difficult thing. And so men, fathers, I have the utmost respect for you and for what the position you are in. And for what God has called you to do. And the fact that you are waking up every morning and doing it. That you are taking one step in front of the other and doing it. It's like the Nike slogan, just do it, right? But that's essentially what we have to do. Just get up and do it. And so, men, fathers, I just want to applaud you and honor you for that. Can we give all the men a hand for that? It's not always easy. We can thank Adam for that, right? It's not always fun. And sadly, men, it's not always about you. No, it's not. No, it's not, Norman. I feel you, brother. I have a lot of side conversations with Justin, and Justin Wall is a good friend of mine. It always seems to go back to me time, not for him and for me, but we always talk about this me time item, and it's like, women, you get this too, right? Because there's no time for you. And it's this idea of there's nothing there. And it can be stressful. It can be stressful. So I think to a couple verses, and this, I'm pretty much done here, but in 2 Corinthians 6:18, God says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters to me. In 1 John 3:1, it says, look how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are. Look how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called his children. And so, man, the fact that you're getting up every morning and taking a step, I just encourage that. I think that's awesome. But in those moments where it's like, wow, like there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of like heaviness about the fact that my son keeps trying on my shoes and what's next, I just want to encourage you. God is your Father. And if we're trying to step into God's shoes, and we learn how to put on God's shoes, and we start putting those on, our sons and our daughters will start putting on those shoes. So I just encourage you today, keep taking a step. Keep finding God's shoes. And then, as a side note to that, I want to address something simple but difficult. Men, maybe you didn't have a positive legacy in this world. Maybe this positive legacy wasn't passed down to you. And so maybe you're a step back or down or whatever you want to call it in that, well, I didn't have this example. Maybe you didn't in the physical world, but you do in the spiritual world. I just want to encourage you that we can learn from our Heavenly Father. So when you're taking those steps every morning, okay, I got to get up and I got to go to work. Let's start adding a step in there. God, I want to come to you with this. Father, show me how I'm supposed to be a father. Look in God's word for what it says about a father. There's so much in God's word about a father and how he thinks of his kids and how he does things and how his mindset is that if we can begin to learn from that, it could be so powerful for our families. So before I bring Pastor Roy up, I just want to say a prayer for all of us. Just if you can, I want to pray to our Father that he would give us guidance, that he would help us to be better fathers. So men and women, if you could just bow your heads, let's just say a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in all of our lives. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would show us the legacy that you want us to leave in our families. I pray that you would show us the legacy you want us to leave in our marriages and in our children, God. Help us to rely on you above everything else. Help us to see the steps that you're taking, the shoes you want us to fill, God. Help us to be the man and the father you want us to be. And God, we give you the glory for what you've done. We lift you up for what you've done this morning. In Jesus' name. And with that, let's have Pastor Roy come. Brother Roy, let's give him a hand.
I'm excited about today. I love special days like this. I love Father's Day. I love Mother's Day. I like Sundays because I like to go out to eat on Sundays. I'm standing here this morning preaching in my new taco socks. I have tacos on my socks. See, people always talk about me liking to eat and always talking about food. That's where it starts. Starts in my feet, and my feet lead me to Taco Bell. My feet follow my stomach. If you're a guy, you'd get that, but anyway. Thank you for the great introduction. Peter didn't realize that he was introducing my message this morning. I want to start off, once again, thanking the fathers. And I don't want this message to sound negative, because seemingly sometimes Father's Day messages and such, we talk about fathers and fathers' roles and things that fathers need to do and such. We have a very distinctively different role than our moms. As Peter said, God didn't create Adam and Eve the same. We're very much different people, different creatures, different ways of doing things. We think different. In case you wives didn't know, your husband thinks different than you think. And that's been a struggle for all of these years for men and women to understand how each other thinks. Now, I've just decided to ignore or just not deal with the struggle and try to figuring it out. And I just live every day thinking that my wife thinks different. She's not going to think the way I think. I'm not going to think the way she thinks. And we get along with that. But I want to talk this morning to our fathers, but not just to our fathers, to all of our men, if I could do that. I'm going to read a kind of an odd passage that you probably haven't heard on a Father's Day, but I want to read from Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. Then I proclaim a fast there at the river of Hava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because he had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all of them for good, that seek him, but his power and wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated, or to ask earnestly of us. As we look into our world today, I don't think anyone could argue that we have a very serious dilemma among our culture here in America. This did not just start a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a few years ago, but it started decades ago. And I believe that most of the reason and most of the decline of our families and the decline of our nation is because of the decline in our role of what I'm going to call this morning the American dad. TV shows have mocked us. They've picked on us. They've ridiculed us. They've made us to look stupid. All the way in the comics from Blondie to Hagar the Horrible. We can't get it right. We're blundering. We're idiots. We're morons. Archie Bunker to Homer Simpson, the American dad, Family Guy, all depict the dad as a perverted, bungling idiot or a far right-wing bigot. That's what's been portrayed. That's what we have been labeled. No one would disagree that society and morale or moral and ethical and spiritual destruction has swept across the homes and the families in our American life over the past 30 to 40 years. We don't live, as I've said before, we don't live in Mayberry anymore. Mayberry doesn't exist in our country anymore. Our homes have been devastated by the onslaught of the enemy, and that enemy has tried and tried for generations, for centuries, to tear down and destroy the man. Now, I'm not here to argue about men and women and who's better and such. We have different roles, and we have to understand that. Our homes have been devastated by this onslaught, and for our homes to withstand the blowing winds of destruction that is reaching and blowing across our world today, we have to understand that everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain came and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. And what is the rock in our lives? The rock is the Word of God. The rock is our foundation. The rock is God Himself. Our house, if it's founded on a rock, it will stand firm. But a house that's built on the shifting sands of society, it cannot and will not stand. That's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And I just wish to talk to our fathers, to our men today, on the topic of when life gets crazy, cling to God. You see, when storms come, and trust me, storms are going to come, and they probably have already come to your home and to mine. When the house shudders from the impacts of the wind and the storms are blowing and you can feel your windows and your screens and your house just shudder, but your house stands firm because your house is built on a firm foundation, your spiritual house and your physical house. Your spiritual house is built on the Word of God, thus it brings comfort and strength to your physical house. If your house is built on a firm foundation, it will stand. Looking into our key passage today of Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, Ezra was in captivity in Babylon. When he was given permission to return back to Jerusalem by the king of Babylon to rebuild the temple, he left there, left Babylon with 1,500 men and their families. He had millions of dollars of silver and gold with him at the same time that had been gifted to him by the king of Babylon. He was a sitting duck for the thieves and all of the journey that was some anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 miles long in journey that they had to travel. And Ezra did something that every man, every father should do. He did not trust his own strength. He did not trust the strength of the soldiers that were with him. In fact, he did not even take the soldiers with him on that journey. And I just want to encourage you men today, if you ever feel like you're alone on your journey that we call life, there are times that we are alone, but there are times that we are never alone. And it's depending upon us as men on how alone we choose to be. But Ezra decided he was going to just trust in the power of the Almighty God. So he called for prayer and fasting. And he put his trust and his protection and guidance into the hands of an Almighty God. So your life here today may be a little bit crazy, but just because it's a little bit crazy doesn't mean that we can't cling to our God. I know sometimes you may feel as men that no one understands the situation that you're in today. And let's trust me, there are many men here today that are dealing with all kinds of situations in their lives and in their families. But we need to trust in God. When life gets crazy, when the storms of life come, we need to cling to the Almighty God. Note, he told them to pray specifically for the little ones. Who is he referring to, the little ones? He was extremely concerned for the children that would come along on this long and demanding journey. Listen, 1,000 miles of travel is hard on children, even in modern day standards. I remember years ago, we would make a journey to Texas, and it was right at about 1,000 miles. And there were three of us boys, John, myself, and Steve. And Steve usually got the front seat with Mom and Dad, and John and I got the back seat. And we would fuss and fight all the long the way. And Mom and Dad would try so hard to get us to play games, like road games, these different billboard games and all of this stuff. And one time we brought along a battleship game, and we made a game out of throwing the pieces out the window, seeing how many bounces we could get before they hit the side of the road and they disappeared. And Steve was wearing a fairly new pair of blue jeans, and we were driving in an Oldsmobile Omega that had white interior. And when we got to Texas, Mom and Dad, we got out of the car, and later they come back to bring in all of the stuff, and there was this big blue stain in the front seat of the car, and they couldn't figure it out, so they took all kinds of cleaners out there and tried to clean the stain out of the front seat, not knowing what it was, until finally they realized that it was my brother Steve's denim, blue denim in his blue jeans. He was wiggling and sweating so much that he wore a permanent blue stain into the front seat of our Oldsmobile Omega. It's hard. Journeys are hard on children. And we are, as men and fathers, we are to make a real difference in the day in which we live in. The responsibility of our children are our responsibility. It's our responsibility as a dad. And Pastor Peter was talking and talked about his responsibility and how it weighed on him over his young son. But I don't think any of us would argue that these days that we live in are not difficult days in which to raise children. Dad, do you know how to be a good father in these bad times that we live in, and times are shifting and times are changing? I know for myself, it's not the same world today, the world that I grew up in. So when we look at what does it take as a father, and understand that if we are going to be a godly father, that we have to have a power and an authority that goes along with our position. And Ezra knew that the task ahead required a power in which he did not personally possess. And I want to challenge you today as fathers and men of Calvary Gospel Church, we need to have a power within us in order to get to Jerusalem, in order to take our families over the dangerous and perilous terrain that lies ahead. But you see, the greatest danger, however, does not always lie in the dangers of the journey, but it lies within the enemies, within the people. You see, the important matter was for the men who, husbands and fathers, we need to be committed to a God who could empower us to guide our families correctly during the difficult times ahead in our lives. We look at the word father. It speaks of our role to protect and nourish our family and our children. The word father in Hebrew is simply A-B or Ab, and in the Greek, it's pater, pater, P-A-T-E-R. These words mean protector or nourisher. We are to protect and nourish our families. Fathers, we need power so that we do not possess, or power that we do not possess naturally within ourselves. I wasn't born with this power to be a father. This power to be a father has been given to me from my Heavenly Father. And if we're going to take our families through the journey and the times that are ahead of us, we're going to have a power that is beyond our own personal power. You see, dads, we don't like it when we can't do things. I am thankful that we have Google today, because there are so many things that I didn't know how to do that I can watch other fathers try to figure it out so I don't make the same mistakes. But you see, there are some things that we just can't Google. There are some things that we have to experience for ourselves. You can't Google the presence of God. You got to feel it for yourself. You can't Google how to be a good dad. You got to be able to take and experience it. You got to go through it. In a New Testament sense, there are two elements that are needed for a father to have the power to be a godly and a good father. We look at Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To our dads here today, a man will never be the father he could be or should be unless he has the power of Jesus Christ leading his life and living in his heart. It saddens me on how many boys and girls, young children in this world that we live in, need and deserve a good, godly father, a good daddy in their homes, but they will live most of their lives without one, and they will never know or have one unless Jesus comes up to take residence in that home. You see, the world has beaten on us, dads. The world has beaten on us, men. And by most part, we've tried to shrug it off and laugh it off. But it has taken its toll on the men in America. We're not the same men that we were 40, 50, 60 years ago. Doesn't mean that we're all wrong. But when you look at fathers today, it's not going to be the courts, or it's not going to be the laws that are going to straighten out the absent daddy problem that we have in the homes across our city. It can only happen due to a spiritual revival that comes to the hearts of the fathers. It's the only way it's going to happen. All over this church today, there are men that we need a new surge of power to lift us up to be the fathers that God designed us to be. And that surge of power is available only if we allow the presence of the Almighty God to live within our hearts and within our minds. In order to experience that infilling power, we must be willing. Hear me out, dads. Hear me out, men. In order for us to experience that infilling power of the Holy Ghost, we must be willing to submit ourselves to God. Won't happen any other way. We must humble ourselves to the Almighty God. And a lot of us men, we have problems when it comes to humility. We have to admit that we're not living up to the standard that God designed us. Not as pastor designed, not as society designed, but as God designed us to be. We're not judged by society. You're not going to be judged by me. We're going to be judged by the Almighty God. So we have to humble ourselves. We have to admit our need. And so many men today that have a problem, they have a problem admitting that they have a problem. And we are taught as young boys that we need to stand up for ourselves. We're taught that crying is for sissies. This, you don't cry. I don't want to see. I know young men that I grew up with that their fathers would ridicule them if they cried. I pity the day where that man, humanity, we men, get to the point that we cannot take and weep because of our past mistakes. And weep because we're full of pride and we need to be humbled. You see, but when it comes to God, listen to me. Listen to me today, dads. We either admit our needs to God or we go without his power and authority in our lives. Because God can't deal with pride. It requires humility. We need God's power. We need God's strength. It's our responsibility, dads. It's our responsibility, men, to protect the children, to protect the families. The Lord teaches us in his word that the long journey of getting your children to adulthood is going to require a great deal of patience. Understand something. I had an old brother in our church years ago told me, as probably 14, 15 years ago, he says, you know, young man, you only go through life one time. You only get one shot at this. We don't get a do-over. We don't get a replay. We can't hit redo, reset. It's not like we're a computer. We only get one opportunity to raise our young boys and our young girls. We only get one shot at this. And we have to make sure that when we do it, we do it. And we do it to the best of our abilities. And the Lord teaches us when we look at Ephesians chapter 6 that fathers are told not to annoy or frustrate their children, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to challenge you today, men, that your temperament matters. Men, we need to have a more even temperament. I've seen fathers get mad at their children, not because of the situation at home or something their child does, but because of frustrations in their own lives. And if things are going to go well for us, we do ourselves a great injustice if we stay angry about things all the time. We need not to be angry. If we had a bad day, our children sometimes don't like it when dad comes home from work because dad always comes home angry. We explode on our children, we explode on our wives, and then we wonder why we don't have peace and we don't have harmony in our homes. You see, it's because we, as a father, we should be the ones that are responsible for the temperament of the home. But you see, you can't tell your children not to get angry, you can't tell your children not to get mad if we go around mad and angry all the time. You see, if an even temperament comes when you as a dad are at peace, listen to me, not at peace with what's going on at work. It's not at peace what's going on in the neighborhood, but when you are at peace with what's going on between you and God and your heart and in your mind, that's when true temperament will shine through. Spending time with God every day is necessary for us as men to keep our aggressive male temperament in check. Did you hear that, guys? Men, by and large, are a bit more aggressive than women. Not all women. I've seen some very aggressive women. And I've seen some extremely passive men. But spending time with God every day is necessary for us to keep that aggressiveness, that go-get-it-done attitude. I'm a man. I can fix it. To keep that male nurture in check. And children who have fathers who burst into angry rages at just random times never learn true discipline. For your children to learn to trust God and have peace in their hearts, they need fathers who trust God and reveal peace through their temperament. You see, as our society changes, there's an old song back in the 80s. This is going to date some of us, Roll with the Changes. Anybody remember that old song? Anybody know who sang it? There you go. Roll with the Changes. And you know what we've done? We've done just that, men. We've rolled with the changes, even though the changes were not designed for us to roll with. You see, God's word is God's word. You don't roll with the changes of society. We stay true to what God's word expects us to stay true to. I read a couple of weeks ago in an article that there are some parents talking about how much time that families spend unattached to one another in their homes on social media. And they were zooming in this time more on the parents than on the children. They're talking about that there are some parents today that average between the parents 12 hours a day on some form of a mobile device. I don't know what your habits are for your social media, men. When I go home at the end of the day, I put my phone out on the back porch on the refrigerator, and that's where it stays. That's where I picked it up this morning. You see, when I go home, I want to spend time with my wife. Now, yeah, we have the only phone we have in the house now. We don't even have a landline phone as our cell phone, so if people call us, we answer our phone. But I try to tell people and try to let people know that my cell phone is for my convenience. It's not for yours. It's my convenience. That means if I choose to answer the phone when I'm driving down the Beltline, I can do that. If I choose not to, I don't have to do that. But you see, we've turned our phones, we've turned our mobile devices into our entertainment, per se. And we spend more and more time with our mobile devices than we do with our children. And I want you to understand something, fathers, men. If you're a man, you're not married. If you've got a wife, you don't get time back. And time matters. And your children are spending time connecting with someone. They may not be connecting with you because you're too busy connecting with someone else, but your children are online or on their mobile device, and they are connecting with other people. And it's very possible that those other people that they're connecting with may not be the best influence upon them. You see, most of our children learn about life through the computer. They don't learn about life anymore by mom and dad or dad sitting down and talking with them. I remember, I don't want to embarrass my daughter, but I remember sitting down with her. I think she was 14, somewhere in that age. My wife had talked to her about sex earlier when she was a little younger, but I wanted to talk to her about it, and I wanted her to hear from her dad. I wanted it to come from my mouth, from my heart, from my mind. And I sat down with her and I talked to her. I didn't make it dirty. I didn't make it nasty. didn't make it something that's just horrible. It is that way if you do it out of the confinements of marriage and you feel condemned, convicted for it. It can feel that way. But you see, it was something that was designed by God. It wasn't just something Adam and Eve stumbled upon in the Garden of Eden. But how many times do we sit down, dads, and talk with our children, talk with our daughters about the birds and the bees? Got real quiet in here. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll leave that up to you. Chances are they probably already know about it, know more about it than you do, because they learned it from someone else or somewhere else that was probably a bit more specific and showed a few more pictures, perhaps. You see, they're going to learn it. They're going to find out about it. You see, Jesus spent time with his disciples. This is such an important tie in here. Jesus spent time with his disciples, and it was said of them on occasions, many occasions, that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Jesus wasn't there, but they were with the disciples, and they knew that they had been around Jesus. It does not simply say that they knew him, but that they had been with him. You see, if we're going to teach our children, we're going to have to be with them. If we're going to have strong marriages, we're going to have to be with them. Our children will tend to follow the person as well as influences that give attention to them. Dad, sometimes you wonder, why is my daughter dating that man? Or you're wondering, why is it my son dating that girl? Well, maybe because they're giving them attention that they're not getting anywhere else. You see, we only get one chance. We only get one shot to do it. We got a lot of young kids in our church. Our children will follow the person as well as influences that give attention to them. You don't like who your child is spending time with? Who's influencing them? If you don't spend time with your children, they're going to spend it with somebody. Whatever gives them time will have the greatest influence on their future, and it needs to be a godly man, a godly father who gives his time and his attention to his children and his family. I just want to give you this little bit of a tidbit. When you look at how a children spells love, they don't spell love, S-T-U-F-F, stuff. They spell love, T-I-M-E. Spend time with your children. As a father, I found it very important. I was not always a good father. I tried my best. But I found it very important not to leave all the discipline up to my wife. I know dads are working hard to provide, and at times we feel that we don't want to be the bad guy here, so I don't want to have to go home and spank my children, deal with my children, however method you deal with them. So we leave most of the discipline up to mom. But you see, the father has a very important role to play when it comes to discipline of our children. Some fathers do discipline the children, but it's basically all they do with their children. And it's a negative influence or negative experience. They step in only when discipline is needed, but other than that, they spend little time with their kids. We've got to understand, dads, that we have to deal with discipline in a fair and an even manner. We have to be disciplined, dads, in our own lives. If your habits reveal a lack of discipline, then everything you say to your children in discipline is going to be looked at as hypocritical and useless, because understand something, your children are not stupid. There are times when I came in my home, and I'm not proud, but I was angry. And I said words that I never should have said. And I had to go back to my wife and I had to apologize and ask for forgiveness. And I had to go to my daughter and say, honey, what Daddy said, he should never have said, and it's wrong. You see, I could never, ever try to correct her for saying a bad word. If I would say bad words and just let it be. We got to own up to it. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves before our children. And a lot of fathers, they're beyond, they're above that. They're not going to do that. We need to reflect the Spirit of God in our lives just as we go to God, or hopefully go to God when we make mistakes and we blunder. Because we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. Our children are going to see us at some of our worst moments and some of our best moments. But you see, we need to understand that we need to reflect the Spirit of God in our lives. And we need to live a disciplined life in front of our children. Abraham, Genesis concerning Abraham, chapter 18, verse 19. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children, his household, after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. God has got some great promises for some of the men of Calvary Gospel Church. But we have to do what is right and what is righteous within our households in order for God to bless us how we want God to bless us. Fathers, we should always be teaching our children. This involves everything from how to ride a bike as to how to read the Bible. My father taught me how to ride a bike. Pushed me down the alley in Shawnee, Wisconsin 3 or 4 times before I finally got to learn how to pedal on my own. But one thing I couldn't master and my father could not teach me was I could not turn a bicycle. I could drive in straight lines. That's the honest truth. I don't know why. I had a phobia about turning and pedaling at the same time. So I'd ride my bike to the end of the street, stop, pick it up, turn it, and head out the other direction. Until I finally, over a period of time, learned how to steer a bicycle. You see, we should teach our children. Fathers, we better teach our children both in word and deed. Look into the eyes of your child. Love your children. Hug your children. Discipline your children. And talk to your children. A father should give his child biblical answers to life's questions. Give them biblical answers. And that forces you as a father to study out the biblical question that your child is asking. We read in Joshua 4:21-22, it states, in the future when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. This right here is a landmark for this country, for this nation, because right here is when we crossed as a nation the Jordan River on dry ground. Jehovah God dried up the waters. Dads, if we don't teach our children, someone else is going to teach them. You see, the concern of Ezra in our text today was that the men, the husbands, the fathers, would be right with God, because he knew if the fathers were right with God, then so would the mothers and so would the children. He only had to focus on one thing, and that was the fathers. This should be our supreme purpose, and that is to be right with God. And our children should see us as we humbly bow before God. They should hear us as we admit our needs to God. This will make us powerful but sweet and precious children. I have a lot of memories of my own father who sits here on the platform today. He was my father. He was my pastor for my entire life up until just a few years ago. I think 54 years, my father was my pastor. I have a lot of fond memories. We have lots of funny memories from old Rastus the Shetland pony. to so many funny stories of things that happened while he was preaching in church. But I think one of the greatest memories that sticks with me the most is that every night when we went to bed, we prayed as a family, and then we went into our bedrooms, turned out the lights, and went to sleep. And I could hear my father, and I could hear my mother, but I could hear my father distinctively as he began to go down the list and he began to pray for every member of his family, starting with my oldest brother to my youngest brother. And he would go down, pray for his mother and his father and his brothers, or excuse me, his sisters. He would go through name after name after name of people in this congregation that were struggling with issues, and praying that God would help them understand and help them see their way through. Dad, the greatest memory that I'll ever have is listening to you pray for me. Fathers, the greatest memories that you could ever give your children is to hear them hear you call their name out in prayer every night. Every night. They need to realize as a child that as they hear you repent before God, that they need to repent before God. They may be repenting for stealing a Nutter Butter cookie, and you may be repenting for stealing something from work and bringing it home. I don't know. But they need to hear their dad repent of his sins. They need to hear their dad cry out before God and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm trying my best, but I'm falling so short. This should be every father's desire for their children, because at some day they will be able to hear their children at an altar, maybe hold them in their arms as they repent of their sins, and then watch them go down in baptism in the name of Jesus and come up out of the water speaking in other tongues. That should be every father's desire for your children. It should not be which college they go to, which young handsome man in the church that they snag. It should be that every one of their children have been saved and are ready. Their heart is ready for heaven. No greater success can be known to a father than this, that his children are prepared to live for eternity and to live a life that reveals that. So as our musicians come and as we stand to our feet today, as we end this, I guess, somewhat emotional life lesson to our men here today, I want to end with this question I want to propose to the men of Calvary Gospel Church. How are we doing in this manner? You see, I don't want this to be a negative message. I want it to be a heart check message. As God speaks to us today, as God's speaking to you, I can't go back, just as Brother Peter said, I can't go back and I can't make everything in your life better with your father. I can't heal relationships that have gone wrong and that are hurting. I can't go back in my own life and undo things that I wish I could do differently, because time continues to move forward. It does not go backwards. But one thing that I can do, and I can do right here, right now, today, is that I can determine in my heart and in my mind that I'm going to recommit my life and I'm going to live it as God would have me to live it. So as I open up this altar area in front for our men, just our men for starting, are we willing to come today and bow down just as they did in the day of Ezra? And can we pray for our lives? And can we pray that our lives, our walk with God, would be to honor God before our children? Honor our God before our children. And pray that we have a safe journey in our life for our wives and for our children. And I know that some of you have grown children who have walked away from God, and you're very concerned for them, and you've done all that you can do. You have shed many a tears, but you still see spiritual needs and issues in their lives. And on this day, I want you to join with the Father that's standing next to you as you put your arms around each other, men, and we begin to pray together that we would come together as men of Calvary Gospel Church, fathers of Calvary Gospel Church, that we would begin to pray for our little ones, for our children, for our wives, and those that are left in the congregation. I would like for the men or the ladies, the men that are still in their seats, to just begin to pray for our men. Begin to pray that God's power, His authority would rest upon us. It's never too late to have the influence that we had at a younger time in life. It is never too late to bring our lives before God in prayer. God bless you.
My trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you.
Each other.
Holy, there is
yes,
no
Lord.
One like you.
We want to encourage
there
each other.
You.
Thank you,
Open
God. Thank you, God.
My
thank you, God.
Eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with
oh,
your
what a
heart
great God we
lead
serve.
Lead me in your love.
What a great God. What a great God. What a great God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, what a great God, what a great God.
Upon your love,
what a great God, what a great God.